Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text Number 4. Pashyanti Adaha Adabra. Oh, I missed, I'm sorry about that. Rupam Adabra Chaksusa Sahasra Pada Uru Bhujana Adbhutam Sahasra Murdha Shravana Akshi Nasikam Sahasra Moli Ambara Kundala Ulasat. Moment, please. Pashyantyado rupam adabra chakshusha. Sahasra padoru bhajanan adbhutam. Sahasra murda shravan akshi nasikam. Sahasra Molyambara Kundalola Sad Pashyantyado Rupam Adabra Chakshusha Sahasra Padora Bhujananad Bhutam Sahasra Muda Shravanakshi Nasikam Sahasra Molyambara Kundalola Sat Pashyantyado Rupam Adabra Chakshusha Sahasra Padoru Bhajanan Adbhutam Sahasra Muda Shravanakshi Naisakam Sahasra Molyambara Kundalola Sat. Please chant. Thank you. Ashrapaduru Bhushanan Adhutam. Sahasramurda Shravan Akshish Nasikam. Sahasramulyambara Kundalo Lasad. Ladies, please. Synonyms. Pasyanti. See. Adaha. The form of the Purusha. Rupam. Form. Adbara. Perfect. Chakshusha. By the eyes. Sahasrapada. Thousands of legs. Uru. Thighs. Bhuja Anana. Hands and faces. Adbhutam. Wonderful. Sahasra. Thousands of. Mudha. Heads. Shravana. Ears. Akshi. Eyes. Nasikam. Noses. Sahasra. Thousands. Moli. Garlands. Ambara. Dresses. Kundala. Earrings. Ulasat. All glowing. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The devotees, with their perfect eyes, see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms, and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes, and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. Please repeat. The devotees, with their perfect eyes, see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms, and faces, all extraordinary. In that body, there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes, and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. So this form that is being described is known as the universal form or the Virat Rupa. This is not the Krishna form, two-arm, that we normally know about and read about. So it is a completely different form of Krishna, nonetheless transcendental. Purport. With our present materialized senses, we cannot perceive anything of the transcendental Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service. And then the Lord himself becomes revealed to us. So in effect, what is being said here is that spiritually we're blind, and that through the process of devotional service, done sincerely, done seriously, with one's whole heart and being, Krishna not only accepts that service, but he also responds to it by drowning us in his divine grace, which becomes manifest as purer and purer vision. In other words, what we cannot see today as a result of impurity, later on, as purity becomes more and more manifest, we're able to see different aspects or different forms of the Supreme Lord, one of which is here, the universal form. Moving on in the purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service. It has to be pure. Otherwise, the perception, as one is growing, may be somewhat cloudy, and as one continues growing, the cloudiness disappears. It is pretty much like having a cataract on the eyes, and everything becomes rather opaque, and we cannot see clearly. But when the cataract or the cloudy lens is removed, then and a new lens inserted, one can see clearly. Similarly, when the new lens, namely our purified state, replaces the impure state, then we can see clearly. But as long as we are in the impure state with the cloudy lens of ignorance, then we cannot see these things which are being described here. So it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the side of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal him. We can see how important Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the principle of devotional service, which I'll get into in a little while. In the Brahma Samhita, also, it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with the tinge of devotional service. So, the question comes, these devotees that I've just read about, are they seeing the universal form? Not according to the Brahma Samhita. The form they are seeing is Shama Sundara, in the heart, the beautiful black-bodied form. That's what that verse refers to. The important point that Prabhupada is making here is that we can come to see the Lord within our hearts, to see him everywhere present in all the atoms of creation. Wherever we look, we see the Lord. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was asked that question, do you see God here, see God around, do you see him in me? And Prabhupada said, yes, I do. And then he said, what do you attribute this to? It attributed to the devotional service that I have been practicing for all my life, and the purification that it has brought me, and the love that I feel for Krishna, and the attachment I have for Krishna, and he has graced me, he has blessed me with this wonderful gift. And he can bless and grace anyone who sincerely strives in devotional service to give pleasure to the Lord. So we have to take information, reading now, we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen him with perfect eyes. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is a perfect person, and everything he writes is written in that understanding and from that level of perfection. So it's a great grace, it is a great blessing, it is a great benediction upon us to be able to read such a book, such as the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And anyone who has made a little bit of a study will see that Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is so radically different from others who are predominantly impersonal in their understanding. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada gradually leads us through the paces of gradually becoming purer and purer and purer. So that is a very important principle, that a devotee who is advanced, who is experiencing Krishna, there are different levels of experiencing Krishna. As we continue growing, we gain greater and greater entrance into that rather mystical interior world, which is closed to those who are blind due to ignorance. So, as is mentioned here, it is very useful, very beneficial to associate with persons who are experiencing different levels of the presence of God. For the first, for example, Krishna may give some sense of his presence. The devotee begins to feel this warmth in the heart. He begins to feel a certain joyfulness come over him, a type of joy that he's never experienced before. Or he may go to a still higher stage, such as while when hearing the Lord's name or hearing the pastimes, one may become stunned. One may perspire profusely. One may, what they call, horripilate. Horripilation is simply a fancy word for hairs going up on the arms or on the neck. And these are symptoms of devotional ecstasy, in which the Lord makes his presence known to the devotee. Also, one may weep profusely. Tears may come. We can see in the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his tears were sometimes so forceful that they sprouted out pretty much like an atomizer. They shot out, and anyone who was near him, they got a good wash on the chest or on the head, wherever he happened to be. And, of course, sometimes those tears would drop to the ground, and devotees would just dive to get those tears in their hands and rub them all over their bodies and along their faces. And it was like the prize of prizes. The perverted reflection of this is that, for example, at a baseball game, somebody hits a home run and somebody's in the stands and he reaches for it and he gets it, but somebody else also tries to get it and it gets knocked down and one get finally. It's like the souvenir of all souvenirs. And so just as persons who go to this baseball game, they get a ball from that someone has hit the home run from, and they show it to their friends. And friends, wow, amazing. What? I mean, this is the awe that they... So similarly, the devotees, similarly in the sense that the devotees also have their ideals and have their higher kinds of... admirations. And so one of those admirations, as we know, is the tears of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they were very much into holding them, smearing them on their body, because they were blessed. God's tears. Some actually wanted to get pieces of the cloth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all these relics, so to speak, are all very spiritual and very dynamic and very able to help us in our purification when we actually realize how great they are and give them their due respect and honor and glorification. So continuing on, in the material world, we also do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things, which I've just mentioned. When we actually can communicate with, we can speak with, or we can take instruction from someone who has actually seen God, who knows God, or is experiencing some degree of the Lord, this is a very great blessing for us. So we should always take it when we see that opportunity and relish it and be thankful to the Supreme Lord for getting such an opportunity. because that is what that is the way that is being described here. It's called, of the nine forms of devotional service, it is association. But not just associating and just standing there, feeling some gratitude, feeling affection, feeling reverence, feeling devotion, feeling an eagerness to serve that devotee. That service attitude is so important in the process of devotional service. And when it becomes spontaneous, it is especially beautiful and very much treasured by the Supreme Lord, because that is the attitude he wants us all to have, the attitude of loving service, not just service. For example, I was doing the Arctic for Prabhupada a few minutes back, and Satchinandana, he came immediately rushing up, and he immediately started lighting the incense for me. And immediately he was also getting the ghee lamps ready for me. I didn't ask him to do this. And he even asked, I hope you don't mind me doing this. I said, no, fine, this is service. The point is that he undertook it. I never asked, but he saw an opportunity and he jumped on it. And that's what devotional service attitude is. Whenever we see an opportunity, we jump on it. We don't have to be just fixed on one service, which is okay to be fixed on that service and to do it well. But it doesn't mean when there are other opportunities around us which we can take that we shouldn't use it. For example, a devotee may have been given a handful of mahaprasadam. Now he can take it to a private place and just eat it all himself. You know, like the squirrels do and the dogs, you know, they take it to a private place and then they eat. So he can, first thing that will come to his mind is, who can I give this to? Who can I share this with? Who can I add a blessing to? Not my blessing, but Krishna's blessing. That's the attitude of gratitude, the attitude of devotional service. So in that mood, a devotee is always looking. We used to have a lot more of that than I see today. For example, devotees, I just gave a good example. Devotees would have excess mahaprasadam somewhere or another. You'd be walking on the street, and in a few seconds, somebody would put either a sweet ball in your hand or put some burfi in your hand, something like that. And then we have all these flowers around. Those flowers should not be sitting there. They should be given to devotees, okay? That's a nice way of saying, I appreciate your loving service, and this is the way I'm trying to reciprocate and show you that I do appreciate, not just thank you, but thank you with a flower which has been blessed by Krishna or blessed by Prabhupada. Smell it and be benefited by it. This is what we're talking about. Don't let the flowers sit there. They're calling, they're crying out, put me in someone's hand. Why not? It doesn't take much. It's not like lifting a 100-pound weight, you know, that you have to... It's not like that. It's very light. And you can smell it. We can smell it ourselves. And then we can pass it out. And after we have passed it out, don't just keep it and put it in your pocket. And then when it gets dry, throw it away. In 5 minutes, after you've taken the full benefit that you could, give it to another devotee. Hoping and wishing and praying that he'll give it still to another. That's called the chain reaction of devotional love. And when devotees keep receiving devotional acts and devotional things from other devotees, it makes them feel obliged. Obliged in the sense that this person is giving me flowers, he gives me Mahaprasadam, he gave me a book, he gave me this. I didn't ask for it, and he didn't even ask for any money in return. He just did it out of love because he loves Krishna and wants to share and distribute and get Krishna into as many hands and hearts as he possibly can. This is the devotional attitude. When we compliment somebody for having done something nice, person gave a nice class, person has cooked some nice sabji, or a person has dressed the deities very beautifully, you can find out their names. If you go on the back, there's a whole chart with the names. And if you want to actually express your, we want to express our appreciation for the beautiful, gorgeous outfits that have been put together in such a symmetrical, in such a beautiful, in such an eye-compelling fashion, well, we can do that. And the person who dresses the deity, when you come over to him or her and you say, that outfit that you put on and the way you arrange it, it just blew my mind. I didn't even want to go away from the altar. He's pleased by that. He's pleased that he was able to to do just this, and that Krishna gave him this opportunity, and it inspires him to want to do more and to do better and to do greater for the Lord. And the devotees are thinking about it. Of course, an advanced devotee does not really think about what praises and honors and glorifications and applauses he gets. He doesn't even think about that. But if it comes, he considers it and he assigns it as an offering of love from Krishna through the devotee into his heart. So that's the, and that's a way we associate with Krishna, by deep and due appreciation to all the love that is being expressed and which is flowing through the hearts of the devotees, and never to take it for granted. Take it like some puffed up devotees I've often seen, myself included. And the person thinks that, well, of course, he gave me the flower. I'm worthy of it. I do such nice service for Krishna. I should get not one flower, I should get 10 flowers. He feels cheated. Yeah, cheated. When he doesn't deserve even a half a flower, but he feels cheated because he didn't get 10 flowers. So this is the proud, arrogant, conceited, vain mentality that all of us suffer from to a small degree or a large degree. I will not make any calls on anyone. We all have to introspect and look at our own egos, and we have to consider what we do need, how we become more humble. And the more we have the service mentality, the idea to want to do something nice. I see other services going on here. Every time I see it, I can't help but say to Krishna, thank you for giving us this devotee here for doing such nice service. I see he's been doing it for 5 years, Bhakti Vatsali. He's always cleaning up over here. I like to do that, but that's his service. He's adopted it. So Krishna is manifesting through that. But I never fail to thank him. Why? Because he deserves it. He doesn't have to do it. He's doing it as a love offering for Krishna. And that makes me very, very happy. That is what my happiness comes from, to see more and more and more people serving Krishna, adoring Krishna, loving Krishna, saying his holy name, even in the most ordinary circumstances. For example, I get a telemarketing call and a person says, hello, are you Alan Zupnik? Yeah, that's me. What would you like? He says, the person says, well, we have this incredible fixing up type of business. If your faucet goes bad, we'll fix it up. And if your bed is broken, we'll fix it up. So please, let us fix up whatever you have. I said, okay, I'm going to let you get fixed up right now. The name is Hare Krishna. Excuse me? I said, Hare Krishna. Will you please say that? Well, what? Just say it and watch your luck change. And the person says, Hare Krishna, good, you're blessed, you're going back home, back to Godhead, have a great day, have a great life, may Krishna bless you, Hare Krishna, hang up. Yeah, it's nice. You can preach anywhere. It doesn't mean that, of course, if I'm busy, I don't even answer the phone, but if I have a few moments, why not give somebody a blessing? That's the devotional attitude, devotional understanding. Wherever we are, we don't have to wait till we go to a gig or we have to go to a place. Do it whenever and wherever we are. Somebody's coming down the street, I don't even know them, but they look at me, I say, Hare Krishna, have a wonderful day. And he says, thank you, same to you. That's Krishna conscious mentality and attitude that we want to generate, especially on this block, but everywhere we go. Then people say, well, these people, really, they're charged up with lots of love. They're always friendly. They're always very loving. Every person comes by with her little dog, Pooch, which is the dearest in her life. So the first thing, I look at the dog, I say, wow, what a beautiful little dog. I don't say mutt, because otherwise she'd take the dog and throw him in my face, probably. So I said, what a beautiful little dog. Can I pet the dog or will it bite my finger? No, go ahead, go ahead. So I pet the head of the dog. It's so nice little doggy. Go back home, back to Godhead. Nice little doggy. So she says, go where? I said, to a very beautiful place. One of these days we all have to leave this world. May your dog go to that beautiful. Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, so there are so many ways in which we can become enamored and ingratiate ourselves to the different non-devotees. And it comes from this wonderful devotional attitude. And if I leave everyone here or everyone who's listening with one thought, all my talks only have a main theme. And this is the theme. Devotional love, devotional service, devotional attitude, devotional understanding, not tomorrow, not when I come to class, not when I worship the deity, all the time, if possible. And when we fail, we pray to Krishna, Lord, I'm so undevotional. I have no attitude for you. All I want to hear is myself. I want to hear about my accomplishments. I want to hear people tell me how wonderful I did this and wonderful I did that. When is the time ever going to come when I just want to serve or act for you? I'm always looking for people to act for me. Please disabuse me of all this mad, vain, conceited mentality which is taking me away from you instead of bringing me closer and closer to you. Please help me. I want to become close. Will you give me your help? I have a stone heart and I'm not at all eager to serve you. Except when people are watching. Then I like to serve you because then people will say, oh, he's such a wonderful servant. So, no, I don't want that. I want to always be in the mood of service. And whether people praise me, they honor me, they criticize me, they condemn me, it's irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is you're giving me the glorious, gracious, wonderful, amazing opportunity to serve you. You don't always have to be told to serve. Look at Rabindranath. He's got the whole bowl of Mahaprasad. Nobody's telling him to do this. Savas did not order him to do this. Nobody in the community, the DBC, did not say, hey, you have to take that bowl and you have to distribute maha. Nobody said, that's done out of spontaneous love. He's here at least 44 years, 45? 72. I don't have that mathematical knowledge and ability. So whatever it is. 45? Yeah, 45 years. So look to the, as it says it right here on the page, look to those who are advanced, who are coming, and look at what he does. I read to the devotees at Prasadam for 23 years, so then I had to stop. I just got into writing and so forth. Well, who picked it up? Rabindranath picked it up, and he's been doing it for at least 20, 25 years. Nobody told him to do it. Nobody ordered him to do it. This is in addition to his regular service, deity service. He's in charge of all the altars, that everything should work properly. So that's a big job in itself. So many people don't show up, and you have to get up earlier than normal sometimes. The main point, again, of this is try to look with respect and honor and submission and appreciation to those senior persons who have cultivated this devotional attitude, and then try to emulate them by doing the same. Not for the benefit of others' eyes, but because Krishna is pleased when we do that. This is most important. I don't know if I read the... Let me see. Oh, there's more to the... No, that's the end. Was that the end of the purport? Huh? Okay. Yeah, give me a moment to find it. Here it is. Thank you. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process of experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters transcendental. That's what I just said. Associate with persons who... Listen to persons who are gaining the experience from the humility, from their surrender, their submissiveness, their sacrificial mentality, their eagerness to want to give up their own pleasure for the sake of other persons' pleasures. Associate with those persons, absorb those, gain what is called the contagion of emotion.
contagion. We know if you, for example, anybody who's had poison ivy and on their arm, and they touch somebody on their arm or in the head, the other person will start scratching because it's contagious. It's transmittable. So similarly, when we associate with persons with this devotional attitude, it also is transmittable because that devotee is eager that we have the same. And because he's eager that we have the same and we want the same, we will get the same. Therefore, it's so important for us to remember that this is not a one-man, one-woman job of becoming a devotee. It's a cooperative effort in which we all participate and we all assist. We all help one another to grow greater and higher in devotional service. If that is, so just as it's mentioned right here, a person can go on a trip. For example, many devotees, they go on a trip, they go to Vrindavan or they go to Mayapur, and they come back and they tell us a little about their experiences. Well, I went to this temple, and it had something very unique. I'd never seen in any other temple before. So one who's listening, he wants to hear. Well, tell me more about it. He said, well, the Lord, you know, he was holding his flute in a different way than ever. Well, how was he? And then he described something different, and he was tilted a little more. So all these little unique elements that he's remembered, he conveys to us. And what does it result in? We want to go there and see it. And that's what devotional love is all about. We want to have those qualities. We want to give Krishna our all in all. We want to give him pleasure infinite. We want to, as it's mentioned, the pure devotee, Krishna says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me. And I do not know anything else but him. He is in me and I am in him. And together we have this eternal romance. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? No questions? Oh, I didn't finish the purport. Well, that's one mistake I don't want anybody here to make. But I will finish it. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the absolute truth and his different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but he is in transcendental form to the expert servitor. So let us all become expert servitors. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shiva.